the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Let's hear, before we talk to Professor Aoife O'Donoghue, Professor of Law at Queen's University, and Hannah McCarthy, our expert on the Middle East, a little bit more of what Donald Trump said when he was with Benjamin Netanyahu at a press conference last evening.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
Just to follow up on what you were saying about the Gazans leaving Gaza, going to other countries. One, where exactly are you suggesting that they should go? And two, are you saying they should return after it's rebuilt? And if not, who do you envision living there?
I envision world people living there, the world's people. I think you'll make that into an international, unbelievable place. I think the potential in the Gaza Strip is unbelievable. And I think the entire world, representatives from all over the world, will be there.
But not the Palestinians.
And they'll live there. Palestinians also. Palestinians will live there. Many people will live there. But they've tried the other, and they've tried it for decades and decades and decades. It's not going to work. It didn't work. It will never work. And you have to learn from history. History has... You know, just can't let it keep repeating itself. We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something
but
that could be so
bad.
This could
meantime,
be so magnificent. But more importantly than that is the people that have been absolutely destroyed that live there now can live in peace in a much better situation because they're living in hell.
Where to start? Hannah McCarthy, you've spoken with us many times over the last couple of years from the Middle East. What has been the reaction to other countries in the Middle East, from other countries to this, and also of the Gazan people, of the Palestinians?
Sure. Well, I mean, Saudi Arabia was extremely quick to release a statement. I think it came out at 4 a.m. Saudi time saying that, you know, it would not engage in a normalization deal with Israel without a pathway to a Palestinian state. And again, making very clear, you know, its red lines in those negotiations. We saw kind of immediate criticism from Jordan, you know, again, was one of the countries that it was suggested would accept Palestinians from Gaza. So some extremely strong criticism of Donald Trump's words that came from Europe as well. Again, Micheál Martin was again saying, you know, it remains to be seen, you know, where this goes. You know, Simon Harris described it as very concerning and saying that, you know, the landing zone has to be a two-state solution and that's the EU's policy. So, you know, from Europe and from the Middle East, strong criticism. But again, from, you know, the Israeli right, from the Israeli government, there was, you know, a kind of a welcoming of these comments. It's not what they expected to get. They went looking for kind of, you know, some support or signs of support for their deal and for their government. And again, what I think Netanyahu was also looking for was some signs that he might be allowed to restart the war in Gaza, which is something that his the right-wing members of his government have demanded, that they have the right to restart this war, that the ceasefire has brought to it at least a temporary pause at the moment.
There's about how many people? It's been reported 400,000 or 500,000 people have returned to Gaza since the ceasefire. Would this suggest that Trump expects them to leave again? And if they do, where do they go to?
Again, this kind of deal with Donald Trump, you always have to question: is there some kind of wider strategy behind what he said, or is it a pure impulsive comment? And again, judging by the comments we're getting from, you know, other Republican officials, you know, who say, you know, for example, the U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson says he's trying to get more details of Donald Trump's plan. It's clear that this hasn't been particularly, you know, well thought out at this stage. That does not mean it couldn't advance at some point, but certainly at the moment, the details of how this would actually practically be carried out are very vague. It's worth noting that there are hundreds and thousands of Palestinians who remained in northern Gaza for the entirety of the last 15 months, you know, despite risk of famine, despite extremely heavy bombardment. And these are not people who are going to leave easily or quietly. So exactly how that's going to happen when you have, you know, immediate and very strong pushback from, you know, Egypt and Jordan, both countries that it suggested would take Palestinians. So how this actually works, it's not clear at all.
Professor Aoife O'Donoghue, Professor of Law at Queen's University in Belfast, is there any legal basis on which Trump and the United States could justify such a move?
Good evening, Matt. Absolutely no. There is absolutely no legal way this could take place. Israel does not have the right or to extend any invitation like that to the United States. They, under international law, they are an occupying force. And as an occupier, they actually have a duty not to move individuals or peoples. I mean, they've obviously been in violation of that, and the International Court of Justice has said they've been in violation of that over many years. But they have an obligation, in fact, to keep a population intact and where they are, and not to create a situation where they would have to move. There is, I mean, other than the Palestinians themselves inviting the United States in to do this, there is absolutely no way that that could happen. And it, to be frank, if it was an invitation to come in and that they would all leave, I'm not sure you could actually, even as a people, agree to that. That would be, that's you can't give away all your rights as a people in that kind of way. So there really isn't any sort of imaginable legal scenario where this could happen within the bounds of international law.
And then what could the rest of the world do about it other than going to war with the United States to stop it doing this?
Well, I mean, there are the legal avenues that we've already been familiar with. I mean, it would violate the Rome Statute. That's the International Criminal Court statute. There's with regard to genocide and, again, forced transfer of people. Similarly, under the law of occupation, you could see an ICJ case. But certainly one of the difficulties we would have is that the UN Security Council is already paralysed because of what is happening with Russia and Ukraine. And again, it would be the UN Security Council would not be in a position to do anything about this because the US has a veto as well. I mean, China has also come out and condemned it and said it cannot happen, as have Russia. But it would paralyse the UN Security Council's kind of role in international peace and security. And you have to put that alongside the fact that the US just withdrew from the UN Human Rights Council. He's announced they're going to withdraw from the World Health Organization. They've removed funding again from the UN agency that works within the Palestinian territories. So they are withdrawing from the UN system as it is. So there's real limitations here as to what could be done within the law. If we think about going to war, I think that's a broader political question about whether or not any state would actually be willing to do that. Or in fact, do we end up in a kind of sanctions, countermeasures, trade war, which we were already on the road down to before he said this last night. So really, I think there are limitations in how much the law can do in this scenario and how much politics will be needed and sort of active politics to resolve this or to stop it happening.
Hannah, there have been criticisms in the past of other Arab nations as to how little they've done to support the Palestinian people. But could this be a provocation too far that even beyond Saudi Arabia, other countries would have to say to the United States, no, you are not going to come in here and turn Gaza into some sort of American-owned and run tourist resort?
See it as a provocation for them. I think they have a genuine, the regimes that are in place in Jordan and Egypt and even Saudi Arabia have a genuine self-interest in dealing with this situation because Arab publics in their countries have a strong and sincerely held amount of solidarity for the Palestinian cause. But also if you have hundreds and thousands of Palestinians from Gaza in Egypt and in Jordan, you turn these into basically staging grounds, you know, for operations against Israel. I mean, there is no way that you would not create some unrest and some armed presence there in that type of situation where you have this mass, you know, involuntary displacement of people to these countries. There would be massive it would be a massive destabilizing effect. So they have, they're looking at Syria, they're looking at, the overthrow of Assad, and they do not want something suddenly provoking mass protests in their own country. So there's a self-interest for these regimes in managing this issue too.
Thank you very much, Hannah McCarthy and Professor Aoife O'Donoghue. Gary in Newcastle says, it's all a big distraction. Look at this here, Gaza, while Elon Musk loots the government coffers with impunity. Well, we will discuss that later with Marion McKeown and Larry Donnelly. Is this a distraction while other things are going on back in the United States? Or is it that there are times that we actually have to take Donald Trump at his word that he wants Gaza, that he wants Greenland, that he wants the Panama Canal as some sort of giant real estate venture for the United States of America?
The Last Word on Today FM.
Larry Donnelly and Marion McKeown are with us. We played a piece of audio at the start of the programme, Donald Trump's press conference with Benjamin Netanyahu in the White House yesterday. It is just so extraordinary. Basically proposing the ethnic cleansing of Gaza for a real estate opportunity for the United States of America. So, Marion McKeown, we heard earlier from Professor Aoife O'Donoghue about the legal implications of this. We heard from Hannah McCarthy about the reaction in the Middle East. So, can you fill us in as to what Americans think of these extraordinary claims by Donald Trump?
Well, I think shock and bewilderment are the main, even amongst Republicans, and I'm talking here about sane Republicans like Mike Warner, who was booted off the Armed Services Committee recently by Trump. They just see this as a non-starter. Now, you had Marco Rubio, who of course was chosen as Secretary of State precisely because of his moral malleability, shall we say, who came out and said the US stands ready to lead and make Gaza beautiful again. I mean, just the moral acuity in that, and the glibness and the stupidity, and the failure to recognise, I think, that there are 47,000 dead people, more women and children, a lot of them in Gaza at the moment, more people underneath the rubble, at the brink of famine, and you're talking about this like they're going to open a new Disney park. It's appalling. I think it's a non-flyer in America. Tom Tillis said that, and showing his age, I think, said there are a lot of kinks in this slinky. Nobody thinks this is serious. I think, as always, we have to ask why Trump said this. What was he trying to get away from? I think the debacle of USAID was one of the things he was trying to get away from and distract from, and the other was the implosion of his big tariff stunt. So I think that this was something that he tossed out. It's not to say that it's not something that he and his family haven't been talking about. We heard Jared Kushner, and I'm going to quote Jared Kushner because he says he was misquoted, where he said Gaza's waterfront property could be very valuable. It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. So he said that almost exactly a year ago in Harvard. So this is clearly the Trump family thinking, where they see everything as a transactional deal. But to speak about the Palestinians like this, as though they can be just turfed out when no other country wants to take them, and say that they're going to be sent to this beautiful, nameless place somewhere. I've been to Palestinian refugee camps in Beirut, and let me tell you, in Lebanon, they are hellish places. They are absolutely hellish. The deprivation and poverty is just appalling there. So for him to come up with this stunt, and again, it is a stunt, but look, it gets us all talking.
Okay, it does, but Larry Donnelly, is there not a danger that we say, oh, there he is, he's just talking about things that he won't do, like he's been talking about Greenland and the Panama Canal, but that the way he's carrying on at present, it's entirely possible that he might actually try to do some of the things that he's talking about, that we should be taking him seriously?
I suppose, Matt, at this stage, just about anything is possible. Anything seems to be within, his realm of what he might do. There's that old saying about taking Trump seriously versus taking him literally. I'm not so sure which way to take him. But I think one of the key points here is that Trump, how this is, your question about how this is going to go down in the United States is a crucial one. Obviously, the international community, as it were, is aghast, and they're right to be, because this is offensive and a dreadful idea at so many different levels. How it goes down in America, though, could be somewhat different. My own sense is that, first of all, you're starting off in a climate where there is nowhere near the levels of sympathy or empathy for the Palestinian people as there is in the rest of the Western world. That's a starting point. Of course, Democrats are aghast at what has happened. They will oppose that. But then you look at the wider United States population. You have the MAGA movement. Then you have others who look at the Middle East as an intractable conflict and might say, what are we going to do here? What is going to happen? How might they receive this? And the follow-on point is, I wonder about the MAGA movement itself. Could this precipitate something of a split in the MAGA movement, in the sense that some will go along with Trump no matter what he says? Others might say, wait a second here, we didn't sign up for expansionism. We didn't sign up for glib threats to use American military force around the world. That's not what we're in this for. We're in this for America first. And that, by that we mean, let's focus on our problems within our borders and forget about the rest of the world. So that will be another interesting dynamic. So one of the things the Republicans are saying, Republican politicians, as Marion says, they're taking kind of a lukewarm approach to this in their reaction. I bet they're waiting to see how are their people going to react.
What a shock that Donald Trump may have lied to many of his voters as to what he would do when he was in office. But is it also the case, Larry, I'll just stay with you on this, that for all the criticism that there was of Joe Biden, made particularly by people on the left and many voters who didn't vote for Kamala Harris because of it, that he was soft in his support to Israel compared to what Trump is now giving?
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a lot of what I would call nihilism among pro-Palestinian groups, especially outside the United States, who said, look, there's no way that Trump could be any worse. And I'm not saying anything good about the Biden-Harris policy in the Middle East. But what I will say is that something like this never, ever would have been in prospect. So there is a clear, measurable difference, I think, between Donald Trump in the Middle East and the Biden-Harris administration. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, and just to finish with you, Marion McCone, I mean, is there an element of diversion here, particularly given what Elon Musk is up to with USA aid? Suggestions as well that one of Musk's companies may have been under investigation by USA aid, and that reference to that from the USA website have been removed.
I think that you also have to look at what Trump is trying to distract from. But this USAID business is not, it's an absolute mess at the moment. You have, the USAID buys $2 billion worth of food every year from American farmers. That food is now sitting in ports, a lot of it, and it can't go anywhere. Programs have been put down. China has already moved in to offer to take over a program in Nepal. It's absolutely chaotic. And I think that, yes, Trump didn't want to take questions at that press conference yesterday about the chaos that is USAID. But I think also we have to look at something else. America's national security. If you want a recipe to kickstart a new round of terrorism against America, you send American troops in and have them televised, forcibly removing 2.3 million Palestinians who do not want to leave. I mean, it is insane. And at the same time, there's now a buyout being offered to all of the CIA. It takes the CIA agents years and sometimes decades to build up contacts overseas to minimize national security threats, analysts, security clearances, all that. And they're being offered buyouts like they're working in Amazon. The whole thing at the moment is just ludicrous in America. And I think that there seems to be a resistance forming, but I do not think that MAGA, and I think Larry's right, there is a split in MAGA already. They did not sign up for America to go overseas and to see American boots on the ground in Gaza or anywhere else. That is not what they're looking for.
Thank you, Marion McKeown and Larry Donnelly.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.